I'd like to continue a little deeper on the subject of victory in spiritual battles. Training for victory in spiritual battles. Our text we've been reading over the last few weeks is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5 in the Amplified Version. If you don't have, Okay, we have it on screen if you don't have your Bible here. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5, for though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, we are not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh and using the weapons of man. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Somebody say amen. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of evil strongholds. We are destroying arguments or speculations and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. May God bless his word to our hearts. The thing about spiritual warfare that is so paradoxical is it's not the mighty, it's not the ones that look like the seasoned, the most experienced, the one who looks like the most intelligent, the most successful, outwardly perhaps has all that you would consider to be what a strong Christian should be like. Even a little child is powerful on ease. Even a person who's a brand new Christian who gets a hold of the Word of God and starts to let this Word get into their heart and into their life can say, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and Satan will have to run. It's not how strong we are physically or mentally or how much education you have or how many Bible scriptures you can recite. But it's getting hold of the fact that Christ has already won the victory. Christ has already won the battle, even though this world is temporarily in transition. And I know this is a bit of a paradox because we do have spiritual darkness around this world because the final showdown hasn't happened yet. Amen? There's going to be a final showdown between good and evil. Christ is going to return with the armies of heaven, and he will destroy. The Bible says he will destroy all the powers of darkness. He will take Satan and chain him with a chain and throw him into the lake of fire. Somebody say amen. Amen. He will establish his righteousness in the world. There will be a new kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy on the earth. He will rule the nations with a rod of iron. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the Bible says the government shall be upon his shoulders. For he is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The race is not to the swift or to the strong. It's the person who knows how to trust God. It's the person who knows that faith in God makes you a majority. Hallelujah. One with the Lord is a majority. Now, the greatest battles that we face in life, if you think about it, are not physical battles. Some people think, well, if I could only feel happy, if I could only feel fulfilled, if I could only get people to like me or accept me. How many of you have tried that for a number of years? It doesn't always work. If I only had a better job, if I only had more money, if I could only meet the right person. Those are just physical things you deal with. The real battle is in the fact that Satan is trying to steal your joy. The real battle is Satan is trying to steal your purpose in this world. He wants to rob you of the life, the purpose, and the vision that God has for your life. Do you know that God has a preferred vision for your life? He has a plan, but the devil wants to destroy that plan. He wants to ruin that plan. He wants to distract you from that plan. And your responsibility is to get a hold of the reason God saved you. Paul said that I might get a hold of that for which Christ got a hold of me. There's a destiny that you have in God. There's a purpose. There's a process that's going on where God is making you into the vessel that you should be. And it goes all the way until he calls you home. He's still putting the finishing touches. Even on senior people like me, I know I don't look that old. Thank you, my dear. He's still putting finishing touches on us. The enemy wants to make you blind to the real battle. You see, it's not about having bad luck. Some people say, oh, I just never have a break. I've had bad luck. You know, maybe you're letting the enemy take advantage of you. Maybe you need to have an anointing of oil over your house. Maybe you need to pray over your children. Maybe you need to walk around the house and kick the devil out. Hallelujah. Maybe you need to declare that your home is holy ground. That this is a Christian. Satan, you are not welcome here. You have no place here. You have no authority over my children. You have no authority over my body because my body belongs to God. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Body, soul, and spirit, I am under the protection and the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the strategies we talked about over the last few weeks are embracing your new identity. One of the ways the devil tries to distract you is to make you feel insecure about who you are. He even told Jesus, if you are the Son of God. Can you imagine the devil telling Jesus, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus returned and said to him, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then he says, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself off the temple, for the Bible says the Lord will catch you. And he said, no, Satan, the Bible says you must not tempt the Lord your God. You don't drive 100 miles an hour and say, okay, God, you'll protect me. Come on now. Somebody said the angels get off your fenders around 70 miles an hour, 80 miles an hour. They get off the fender. They go, it's every man for himself. Embracing your identity is very important. Being secure. Knowing that you are loved. That you are valuable to God. The Bible says we have not been redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver or gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah, the Son of God. There is nothing more precious in the whole universe than the blood of Jesus. And that's what God offered in exchange for your life. He shed his blood to redeem you from the curse of sin. Somebody say amen. Living a righteous life is also a spiritual bulwark against the enemy. Because you could be a believer and you could know that God loves you, but if you're always giving in to sin, and if you're always giving in to anger, and you're always giving in to jealousy, and you're always giving in to pride, you're setting yourself up to invite the demons to come back to your house. You know, the Bible says that a person who is full of anger, has given the enemy a mighty foothold. The anger of man does not accomplish the will of God. So righteousness, living righteous, not perfect, none of us are perfect. We're only made righteous through Christ. Our ultimate perfection is the fact that we're in Christ. But we still have a free will. Somebody say amen. I've blown it many times. I know I still have a free will because of all the times I've gotten angry and all the times I've said stupid things and all the times I acted like a fool. Don't just look at me like that. Come on now. Turn to somebody and say, even with your mask on, you've done the same thing. It's not just the pastor. We have a choice. We have a choice how we live. See, God has finished the work. But there's a process that's happening inside of us to become more and more holy, to become more and more like Jesus. So our lifestyle of daily yielding to the Holy Spirit makes the Spirit of God the ruler of our life. You become mastered by that which you yield to on a daily basis. If the master passion of your life is discontentment, if the master passion of your life is, gee, I wish I had a break, then that's what you're going to be living with. But if the master passion of your life is, I want to obey the Holy Spirit, I want to yield myself to God every day, I want to say yes to God. I want to say yes to faith. I want to say yes to love. And I want to say yes to obedience. Somebody say amen. You become mastered by that which you submit to on a regular basis. And then last week we talked about the strategic power of prayer. Excuse me. The strategic power. Could I just get a little water? Mrs. Munizzi, Pastor Angela. It's hiding there. Thank you. Okay, my sweetheart. We dated for 3 years, so that's 52 years with the same sweet girl. Thank you. Thank you. Tommy said that was a good choice. One of the best. You see, when it comes to prayer, I'm not talking about now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul will keep. Those are reciting prayers. I'm talking about prayer as a relationship with God, prayer as a lifestyle. Paul talks about one of the men in the Bible, one of his disciples was named Epaphras. And Epaphras had a ministry of intercession. And Paul said in Colossians 4:12, he said, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ, sends his greetings. Now watch this. He is always wrestling in prayer. Epaphras is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. This is the kind of prayer life that I'm talking about. It's a prayer life that is a result of a close, intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit that makes you feel what God feels, makes you pray with a sense of confidence because you know you're praying according to the will of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Prayers that make a difference are Spirit-filled prayers, prayers that are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, prayers that are deep and personal, prayers that involve praise and worship and confession and surrender and desperate pleas and intercession. If you read about Ezra, who was involved in restoring the worship to the house of God in the time of the return when the Jewish people were returning to Jerusalem, you read about Ezra the priest. And Ezra had this intercessory, I mean, he had what you might call like this eye of the tiger, you know, I mean, he was going to get a hold of God. And the Bible says when Ezra was praying and interceding, he was weeping and he was crying and he was literally throwing himself down. I don't know how you throw yourself down before the Lord. And he was literally like falling prostrate before the Lord. That's the kind of wrestling he was doing in prayer. Do you get what I'm saying this morning? Somebody say amen. Church, now than ever, more than ever, now more than ever, we need people who know how to pray. And I'm telling you, we are hanging in a balance. We need to know how to use our spiritual weapons, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this today and over the coming weeks, the armor that God has provided for us to win the spiritual battles that we face on this earth. Because there is a darkness and there is an arrogance about Satan right now where he's literally trying to tip the scales in the United States of America. Somebody say amen. Trying to destroy this country. No matter what political persuasion you might take, you have to understand something. We are a divided country. There is a lot of spiritual warfare over this country right now. And we have been blessed with some of the greatest blessings of heaven in the United States of America. But I am so concerned that if we forget to be thankful, if we forget to be prayerful, what will happen in this country if it continues to turn its back on God and make decisions to push faith in God and push the Bible and push the sacredness of marriage and the family unit and the freedom of religion and all the things that we hold dear, the Bible as the Word of God? I shudder to think what kind of nation our children and grandchildren will inherit if we don't get back to God. Somebody say amen. You might say, well, Christians will never be persecuted in America. We're close to it right now. And without getting on the soapbox right now, I'm just going to tell you, there are laws that are being passed in places like California and other places that are saying that if you don't toe the line and disavow your faith, you not only have to agree with something that the Bible says is sinful, but you have to celebrate it now. And if you don't, you can be fired from your job. If you don't, you can actually be considered guilty of hate speech. There was a man in London that was speaking from the Bible on the street corner. And this is something that happened about a year ago, just reading the scriptures. And the police arrested him because they said he was guilty of hate speech. How could the word of God be hate speech? Somebody, come on, get excited, cry, do something. Tell me that you're getting what I'm saying this morning. I'm getting a little beside myself. Okay, now I'm beside myself. I want to tell you these solemn words that God put in my heart so deeply. If America continues to turn its back on God, we are in for a rough ride. And I do not want to be guilty of saying, you know, when I wake up a year from now or 2 years from now, that all of this happened and I was sleeping. All of these things happened and I failed to pray. I mean, ultimately, God is sovereign. We don't know how long we'll be before Christ returns. We don't know. But we know the signs of the times are out there. All the signs of the times are out there. But one thing for sure, when Jesus was asked to explain the end times, remember this. The first thing that came out of his mouth was, watch out that no one deceive you. The disciples asked, when is the time of your coming? When will these judgments take place? When will the temple be destroyed? Read it. The first thing he says is, watch out. Watch out that no one deceive you. There's going to be a lot of deception in the last days. That people are going to compromise the word of God. They're going to compromise the truth of God. And they're going to say that good is evil and evil is good. And you heard it here on October 18th, 2020. I'm going to preach the word of God. I'm not trying to be a show off. I'm not trying to be a wise guy. Believe me, I have suffered and been broken by God. And I have gone through trials that you could not imagine. But I'm telling you with all my heart, the truth is the truth. If we don't wake up and start praying, we're going to miss this moment. And today I want to conclude with one more, and that is the belt of truth. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the schemes of the enemy. And then in verse 14, he says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. That's the first piece of armor. Truth. Somebody say amen. What happens if you're not wearing your belt, especially for men? If you try to run, your pants fall down. And that could be very, very disconcerting, not to mention embarrassing. Somebody say amen. Actually happened to me one time. I think I told this story. When I was a kid and growing up in Queens, New York, I snuck into a swimming place where it was like by membership only. It was in Cypress Hills. I don't know if they still have it there in Jamaica, Queens. Yeah. Yeah, I was a bad boy. I was a teenager. I thought I was going to get away. I climbed over the fence because it cost money. We were poor. I didn't have the credentials to get in. But I was going to go swimming anyway. The only problem is I put my pants in a locker. I had my swimming trunks. I put my pants in a locker that had no lock on it. Somebody stole my belt. Be sure your sin will find you out. So now I've got oversized jeans because my mother, you know, with 9 children, she would always buy things 2 sizes too big so you grow into it, you know. So now I have these oversized jeans, and I'm climbing back over the fence. I hear a whistle blow. There's a security guard that spotted me, and now he's chasing me. I jump over the fence. I'm trying to run down the streets of Jamaica, Queens, and my pants are falling off. Brothers and sisters, I learned the value of a belt. A belt is very important. The soldiers in those days, in Paul's day, would use the belt to fasten the breastplate. There would be like these loops on the breastplate that covered their chest, would have loops on the bottom, and the belt would go through. And then it had another bracket here for a sword. So the belt would hold the breastplate, the tunic that they would wear, and also the sword, very foundational. Why am I saying this? Because truth is the most foundational thing that we're facing right now. There's a battle for truth. There is a battle for truth. Truth matters. In a world that's gone crazy, aren't you glad that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Who would you rather have operate on your loved one? They need open heart surgery. Someone who is the finest open heart surgeon in the world, credentialed, or someone who's an imposter and says, you know, I slept at the Holiday Inn, but I'm a heart surgeon, you know? That's an old commercial. You got to remember that from 2 years ago. You don't want an imposter. You want somebody who has the real credentials. How about an airplane pilot? When you step on an airplane, you want to know the pilot has gotten his credentials to fly that plane. You don't want some imposter in there. Somebody says, oh, yeah, I can do anything. I'm a pilot. And no, thank you. I'm not getting on your airplane. Truth matters. But the problem with our culture today is we have this idea that you can create truth as you go along. I've even watched some of these popular television programs sometimes and said, oh, you know what? Your truth is such and such, and my truth is such and such. No, there is no such thing as creating truth. Truth is there. It's something to be discovered. It's not something you create. Somebody say amen. It's like gravity. You could say that gravity doesn't exist. But I want to tell you, sister, if you step off the top of the building, you're going straight down. Truth is like that. It just is God's truth. It's eternal. Truth is eternal. You see, but in our world, we want to elevate feelings above truth. We want to elevate popular culture above truth. We want to elevate political correctness above truth. Come on now. God teaches us that truth is eternal, and he has paid the greatest price to reveal it to us. I want to say that again. God's word teaches that truth is eternal. And God has paid the greatest price, sending his son to demonstrate to us the love of God, the truth of God, the forgiveness of God. Aren't you glad that Jesus came to redeem us from all the craziness of this world? 1 John 1:6 says, if we claim, write this down if you don't have it on the screen. I don't think I gave this one to Captain Jimmy. 1 John 1:6, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we are lying and do not live in the truth. You must live out the truth. This is 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with God and yet we're walking in darkness, we are lying to ourselves and we are not living in the truth. In other words, to put this a different way, if your beliefs don't influence your behavior, there's something wrong. If you believe the Bible says thou shalt not lie, then you shouldn't live a life of lying. The Bible says you shouldn't cheat on your wife. You shouldn't be cheating on your wife. The Bible says you should not hate. The Bible says you should not commit murder. The Bible says you should not be a racist. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. There are undeniable truths in the Bible that we live by. Would you want to have a broken compass if you were in the woods, lost, and your buddy, who is a you know, what do they call it, a Boy Scout or whatever, gave you a compass. You go to look at the compass, it's not working, and you bang it against the tree. You said, oh, no, why did you give me a broken compass? Or if you've had a GPS, when the GPS systems first came out, remember how sometimes they wouldn't work right? I was upstate New York one time trying to find the church, and it told me to go east instead of going west. We ended up in this cow pasture somewhere in the middle of nowhere. I'm serious. I'm serious. We were completely lost in the wrong direction. And no cell reception either. No bars on the phone. I don't even know how we found the place. It was just God's mercy. Prayer. Yes, prayer. You see, truth really matters. Truth really matters. The belt, first thing you put on is truth. And the easiest person to fool is yourself. Come on now. How many of you still love Pastor David? You had Pastor Appreciation Day today. This is a good day for me to get this off my chest. Hallelujah. Jesus said, whoever hears these words of mine and does not obey them is like a man who built his house on a sand. The water came, the rains came, the floods came, and the house collapsed because it was built on a shaky, faulty foundation. But whoever hears these words of mine and practices them is like a man who built his house upon a rock. The storms came, the wind, the rain, the floods, but the house stood firm because it was built on the truth of hearing the word of God and practicing the word of God. I pray today that your house will be built upon the truth of God's word. Don't give in to popular culture. Brother Angel said it before. We need to be transformed. Romans chapter 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our mind has to be constantly adjusted to the truth of the word, because it's very easy to get caught up in the way the world is going. It's very easy to get caught up with the majority. How many of you know the majority can be wrong? Majority's been wrong before. And I want to close with this. We need to ask God, the fire of the Holy Spirit, to awaken a sense of urgency, a sense of alertness, a sense of alarm about the dangerous times we are living in, and what should our response be? In the Old Testament, there's a scripture that says the men of Issachar, from one of the tribes of Israel, was the tribe of Issachar. It says Issachar knew the times and the seasons. They discerned, they understood the times, the seasons, and they knew what Israel should do. We need to be discerning about the time we're living in right now and ask for more of the Holy Spirit. That is the surest way, the best way to safeguard your soul is to invite the Holy Spirit to be in charge. The Bible teaches us that if we say yes to the Holy Spirit, even if we have to say no to man, we're on the right side. Remember when the ruling council of the Jewish nation arrested the disciples and they were trying to get them to stop preaching in the name of Jesus about the resurrection of Christ? And here's a case where submitting to the governing authority was a mistake, was wrong. And this is something that might blow your mind a little bit. But if the government asks you to do something that's against the Bible, you have to say no. Hello. I mean, just go to Asia, go to the Middle East, go to India, go to places in the world where people have been thrown in jail because they said, I'm not going to disavow the Bible. I'm not going to disobey Christ. I'm not going to deny Jesus. And they're paying a price. They're paying a price. And Peter said to them, you decide for yourself whether it's right to obey God or obey man. But as far as we're concerned, we're going to obey God. Now, again, be careful with this. I'm not saying to do something crazy. This is an example of a case where the government has become so corrupt that they're asking you to do something that is against the word of God, against your conscience. And I feel like we're pretty close. We're pretty close to that moment in the United States. Let's stand together, shall we? Help us, Lord. Would you say that with me? Help me, Lord, to be full of the Holy Spirit. I need more of you in my life, Lord. Help me to have your convictions. Help truth to be a belt for me, Lord. May your truth be my foundation. May the Word of God be the greatest influence. The Holy Spirit be the greatest influence in my life. Not my feelings, not the circumstances, not what CNN says, not what Fox News says. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Not what the Democrats say, not what the Republicans say. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Come on now. Church, we need to wake up. Hallelujah. I want to be Spirit-led. How about you? I want to be led of the Holy Spirit. I want to have a Book of Acts experience. A Book of Acts experience. Hallelujah. We're going to sing, and then I'm going to ask Brother Joel to come up and close in prayer. But let's sing something. Where are we, brother? What are we singing?
I'll Say Yes.
I'll Say Yes, Lord. Perfect. That's a perfect song. I'll say yes. To your will, Lord, to your will, Lord, I'll say yes. Where he leads me, I will go. Where you lead me, I will go. I will go. Will you say yes? I'll say yes, Lord. Come on, everyone. I'll say yes. Lift your hand with me and sing it together. Come on. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes. To your will, Lord. To your will, Lord. I'll say yes. Where you lead me. Where you lead me, I will go. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes. Where he leads me, put your hand on your heart. Where he leads me. I will go. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes.
Brother Joel, come on up.
Hallelujah, 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 Father. I just finished reading a book by an evangelist friend of mine. It was just published in 2020, a brand new book written by this very well-known evangelist. And it really caused a great sense of awakening inside of me. When you identify all the metrics, all the factors that are going on right now, how there is such a battle between good and evil right now, right now. This is a chime for us to be alert about our families, be alert about your prayer life, be alert about your attitudes, be alert about reading the scriptures. I can't say it enough. You know I'm saying this because I love you, right? You know I'm saying this because I love you. Please be awakened to the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name.
We give you thanks for this mighty and powerful word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. We thank you, Lord, for the boldness of our pastor, Lord, to speak these truths in the midst of these challenging times. And we pray, Lord, that your spirit would enable us, Lord, to be doers of the word, that we would put on the whole armor of God and And in these challenging times, Lord, we'll be able to fight the good battle of faith in the name of Jesus. Father, out of this chaotic situation, Lord, that we're living in, let the church arise. Lord, that your people would arise under the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit with the armor of God, Lord, to be able to win souls, Lord, to change this generation, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let the kingdom of darkness be pushed back in this country, in every home, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that your spirit, Lord, would enable us, Lord, to be, Lord, harvesters for this final generation. We pray these things humbly in Jesus' name, and we give you thanks beforehand for the victory, Lord, that you give to your body, the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Reverend Joel. And I want to say that we're talking about more than just talking or debating. You know, I come from a family of debaters. One morning we stayed up till 4 o'clock in the morning debating. That's not what we're saying. It's not talk. It's on our knees saying, Lord, show me from your word what I should do. We need discernment. And then willing to pay the price. I think God is speaking to his church. We have to be willing. We have to be willing. Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. I thank you for truth, Lord, from your word. I thank you when everything else is just rocking and reeling around us, Lord. We have a sure foundation in Jesus Christ. That, Lord, we don't have to be shaken. Lord, we can be on the rock, Christ Jesus. And Lord, I pray that the truth in us, God, would be an example, Lord, not fighting, not debating, not just trying to be right, but Lord, saying, I'm going to live by your word, Lord. Let it shine through me, Lord. Lord, the world desperately needs people who love you and who love them, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We need more love, Lord, because I know sometimes even what's going on makes us angry. But Lord, instead, give me more love, God. Give me more love, Lord. I need more love from you to even love those who disagree with me. Lord, in Jesus' name, can you agree with me and say, Lord, give me more love. More love for you and more love for others, Lord. Lord, we pray that many will be won to the kingdom of God. For truly that is the kingdom that has no end. Hallelujah. And Lord, now we say, bless your church, Lord. We thank you for a house of worship. We could come and worship you. Go with us, Lord. Shine through us. Keep us safe, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. God bless you.